from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Jokowi says Indonesia not the only country facing currency fluctuations. In the Pacific, concept will be discussed during Prime Minister Narendra Modi's bilateral visit. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dawat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said fluctuations of currencies, including rupiah against the US dollar, is a global phenomenon faced by almost all countries other than the United States. President Joko Widodo said after a ceremony of Ramadan reciting of Quranic verses held by Executive Board of Muhammadiyah at the Muhammadiyah University in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 29, that the fluctuation is a global phenomenon faced by all countries. President Jokowi said he had passed an instruction to the Coordinating Minister for Economy and the Finance Minister to take concrete steps to control rupiah fluctuations. The President said he appreciated the anticipatory steps taken by Bank Indonesia for forestall impact of the fluctuations. He believes Bank Indonesia has taken the right steps with its monetary policies. He said the government itself continues to prepare steps within its area or authority to help Bank Indonesia to prop up rupiah, which has lost much its value against the dollar over the past month. In the Pacific, concept that Indonesia has introduced to several countries will be one of the topics discussed during the bilateral meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Thursday. Both countries share similarities in the Indo-Pacific concept. This was confirmed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia to journalists after breaking the fast together with ambassador of friendly countries on Monday, May 28.
Indo-Pasifik, kita akan lanjutkan komunikasi kita. Jadi Indo-Pasifik, Presiden sudah menyampaikan kepada
Indo-Pasifik, we will continue our communication. The President has informed Prime Minister Modi in January, and then afterwards there was some communication. So, in principle, we do not see any differences in the concept of the Indo-Pacific problem, and I think in the meeting, Indo-Pacific will also be discussed. Indo-Pacific has become one of the agenda of strengthening Indonesia's foreign policy in 2018. The Indo-Pacific concept has been echoed since 2013, and Indonesia focuses on potentials in the Indian Ocean. There are three principles of cooperation in the Indonesia's Indo-Pacific concept, namely transparent, open, and inclusive cooperation in accordance with international law. Indonesia still wants to use ASEAN as the centrality that builds this Indo-Pacific architecture. Therefore, Indonesia wants to use the building block approach by strengthening the cooperation of coastal countries in the Indian Ocean. Indonesia Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is optimistic that Indonesia will be selected as one of 10 non-permanent members of the United Nations Security Council COP for 2019-2020 period. Retno, during breaking fast together with the ambassadors of friendly countries at the Ministry of Foreign at First Building in Jakarta Monday said, so far, Indonesia had a great contribution and a very real track record in supporting peace and conflict resolution around the world.
Insya Allah, kita berdoa terus ya. Insya Allah, kita optimis. Mohon doanya saja.
Insya Allah, we continue to pray. God willing, we are optimistic. Please pray for it. So if we look at all the records that exist, of course, in such elections, then we see our track record, our contribution to create a world for peace, for prosperity, and so forth. And hopefully all records are recorded properly and will affect or make excuses for United Nations member states to vote for Indonesia. Retno Marsudi added, at present, Indonesia is still preparing to face the election, which will take place on June 8. According to the plan, the Indonesian delegation that she leads will leave for New York, United States on June 3 for preparation before the election day. Prior to the election, the Indonesian delegation will continue to work to maximize the lobbies on various countries in order to provide support to Indonesia. The Sukarno Education Foundation and Bung Karno University have signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Education and Research with the Embassy of Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. Through the Memorandum of Understanding, it is expected that Venezuela and Indonesia will be able to strengthen relations in various fields, including in politics, social and foreign policy. This was stated by the Ambassador of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, Gladys Urbaneza Duran, at Bung Karno University campus in Jakarta on Monday.
We are signing two agreements, MOU, with the University of Bung Karno and with the Foundation of the University of Bung Karno, just to strengthen our relationships in all issues of education, not only my embassy and representative from my embassy, but also from my country. We have different possibilities to connect this university with universities and institutions in my country. So I think in technical, in social issues, and in political issues, and in foreign policies issues, I think we can strengthen our relationship between.
Ambassador Gladys Urbaneja Duran added that the cooperation is a testament to the close ties between Venezuela and Indonesia. This cooperation is the first time done by both parties. Prior to the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding, the chairman of Sukarno Education Foundation, Rahmawati Sukarno Putri, who is also the daughter of Indonesia's first president, Sukarno, also sent a congratulatory letter to Nicolas Maduro, who re-elected as president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. The letter is directly entrusted to Ambassador Gladys Urbaneja Duran and read out in front of the meeting participants. In addition to congratulating Maduro, who was re-elected president of Venezuela, Rahma also congratulated all Venezuelans for what she called the highest achievers in determining the social and political landscape, as well as a better future for Venezuela. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Embassy of Indonesia in Den Haag participated in Tong Tong Fair, TTF, that was held from May 24 until June 3 to promote Indonesian culture to Hollander. This year, TTF is exceptional because it's coincided with 60 years of Asian Cultural Festival. The first secretary of the Indonesian Embassy, Nur Evi Rahmawati, stated, Indonesian Pavilion has 48 participants in TTF 2018. They sell traditional products such as batik, handicraft, snacks, and guitars. Indonesian Ambassador to Netherlands, Igusti Wesaka Puja, said the annual Tong Tong Fair managed to attract thousands of visitors from various places in the Netherlands and surrounding countries. He said in Den Haag on Tuesday that the embassy wanted more presence of Indonesia in the festival. This year, Indonesian Embassy gave new promotion concept by using one shop information where the visitors get to access information about current things and happening in Indonesia. Several local governments also took part in the promoting Indonesia in TTF 2018, such as Sleman, Malang, and Teluk Wondama, Papua. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Idrus Marham said the government is currently working hard to reduce the poverty rate in Indonesia so that at the end of the term of office of President Joko Widodo, it can be 9%. Idrus said in Yogyakarta Tuesday that at the end of the first period office of President Jokowi, the ministry targets the poverty rate fell to 9%. Idrus said in 2018 until the end of 2019 period of Jokowi leader, the poverty rate in 2017, which according to the Central Bureau of Statistics noted 10.12%, can be encouraged to lower 1% more. By 2018, the number of beneficiary families of PKH is targeted to be 10 million families or around 40 million people. If the implementation of the PKH is optimal, then the poverty rate should be suppressed. Because, it was said, the number of recipients this year has been above the number of poor people, 26 million inhabitants. With the condition of poverty alleviation programs that have been and are being run, currently, Ministry of Social is no longer optimized the number of program recipients but the program receiver index. Indonesian state-owned oil and gas company Pertamina has completed drilling 6 wells in the first quarter this year. The drillings were done by the company's upstream subsidiaries in Pertamina Eksplorasi Produksi (PEP), Pertamina Hulu Energy (PHE), and Pertamina Geothermal Energy (PGE). Pertamina Vice President of Corporate Communication Adiatma Sarjito said in a written statement on Tuesday that Pertamina's performance at the start of the year is quite satisfying, with oil reserves continuing to increase. Adiatma said PHE found 40 million barrels of oil equivalent have at the Merakes 2 well. Meanwhile, PEP has completed the 2D and 3D seismic works. He added that Pertamina's oil and gas exploration activities in the first quarter of 2017 resulted in the discovery of new reserves at the Nunukan block in North Kalimantan with a potential output of 569 million barrels of oil equivalent. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitling North Korea-US Summit Between Preparation and Diplomacy. Although there has been a side war through harsh statement, the United States and North Korea apparently continue to prepare for the high-level meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. U.S. State Department spokesman Heather Nauert in Washington said on Monday, a U.S. delegation had been on the border of the two Koreas and that South Korea was already in talks with North Korean officials. He said both sides continue to prepare for the meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. Previously, it was reported that a number of South Korean officials had even visited North Korea and met up with the country's Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs. Besides preparation for a possible high-level conference in North Korea and the borders of the two Koreas, both U.S. and North Korean officials have visited Singapore, which is planned to be the location of the summit. Preparatory efforts can give signal that Washington and Pyongyang are still committed to resuming talks, although diplomatic statements may heat things up. One of the U.S. allies, Japan, issued a declaration that gave pressure to North Korea. In a telephone conversation between Washington and Tokyo, Donald Trump and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe agreed to urge North Korea to dismantle all its nuclear testing sites. The Trump and Abe talks came just after high-ranking North Korean and U.S. officials met in Panmunjom to discuss the possibility of a high-level meeting. Trump and Abe also agreed to meet before the Singapore summit. The steps of the United States and its allies are openly expressed through media coverage. What remains unknown is the North Korean move with its greatest ally, China. North Korea certainly does not stay silent in the face of diplomatic move by Washington. However, China's position as a North Korean ally certainly cannot be disregarded. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on May 30, 1942. Royal Air Force conducted massive bombing to Cologne, Germany. The Royal Air Force carried out the first massive bombing to Cologne, Germany, on the left side of the Rhine Bank. Approximately 240 hectares of important and strategic industrial zones in Cologne were suddenly attacked by the British Air Force. The attack also marks the beginning of a massive Allied army attack on major cities in Germany to weaken German forces in the World War II, and the result can be seen after 3 years. We move to another event of Biafra, Nigeria, liberated itself and triggered a civil war. Eastern Nigeria Federation region decided to liberate itself on May 30, 1967 with an official name of the Republic of Biafra, with Enugu as its capital. On post-declaration of independence, Biafra gained diplomatic recognition from Haiti and other African countries. However, the central government itself did not recognize the independence of Biafra. One reason is that the region is an important oil-producing area for Nigeria's economy. So, in less than a week after the unilateral declaration of independence by Biafran authorities, the Nigerian central government began to mobilize the army to forcibly dissolve the Biafran government so that the Nigerian civil war broke out. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of Air France stopped its Concorde flight on May 30, 2003. Supersonic Concorde aircraft, made by a consortium of France and the United Kingdom since 1950, started with planning and designing. In the late 60s, the first prototype Concorde was launched. The presence of Concorde supersonic passenger aircraft marking a new era of modern flight. Unfortunately, due to the noise pollution and the high operation costs, caused several accidents. Finally, the Concorde flight was stopped by the French airline Air France on May 30, 2003, while the British carrier officially stopped in October 2003. Thank you. listener, that was Today in History. Thank you for your attention and goodbye.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to My Indonesia entitled Indonesia European Union Increase Export and Cooperation of Industry. Indonesia continues to expand its export market for industrial products to the European Union region. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, after receiving the visit of European Union Ambassador to Indonesia Feng Sanggerang at the Ministry of Industry, Jakarta on Friday, May 25, mentioned that several manufacturing products of Indonesia that are being exported to European countries, such as food and beverages, textiles, clothes, and footwear, as well as palm oil and its derivatives. In addition, commodity competition between the two parties is different so that they can complement each other. The Ministry of Industry noted that the total value of Indonesia-European Union trade in 2017 reached $25.2 billion. Indonesia's export to the European Union amounted to $14.5 billion, and Indonesia's import is about $10.7 billion, resulted in a surplus in the figure of $3.8 billion. Meanwhile, the value of European Union investment to Indonesia in 2016 amounted to $2.6 billion in 2,813 projects. In an effort to improve bilateral economic cooperation, Minister Erlangga also encourages the acceleration of the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IEU-SEPA. The first negotiation was held in Surakarta, Central Java in February. The fifth negotiation will take place in July in Brussels, Belgium. In addition, Minister Erlangga actively spurred cooperation between industry players of Indonesia and the European Union countries. The expansion of such cooperation, for example, in the air transport industry sector between PT Dirgantara Indonesia and Airbus. Minister Erlangga moreover said that PT Dirgantara Indonesia has long supplied several aircraft components to support Airbus production, such as EADS CASA C295 Airbus military aircraft and Airbus helicopter. Ambassador Feng Sanggerang also said that some Airbus spare parts were made in Bandung or PTDI, then sent to all over the world through Airbus aircraft products. Feng Sanggerang also said that the EU delegation, which consists of 50 companies, will visit Indonesia in October to offer a cooperative concept called circular economy, in addition to exploring cooperation in the industrial sector. Gerang explained that circular economy is a new concept that is being encouraged in Europe with the aim of reducing waste and increasing waste recycling. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said fluctuations of currencies, including rupiah against the US dollar, is a global phenomenon faced by almost all countries other than the United States. In the Pacific, concept that Indonesia has introduced to several countries will be one of the topics discussed during the bilateral meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Thursday. Indonesia Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is optimistic that Indonesia will be selected as one of 10 non-permanent members of the United Nations Security Council for 2019-2020 period. The Sukarno Education Foundation and Bung Karno University have signed a memorandum of understanding on education and research with the Embassy of Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. Through the memorandum of understanding, it is expected that Venezuela and Indonesia will be able to strengthen relations in various fields. The Embassy of Indonesia in Den Haag participated in Tong Tong Fair, TTF, that was held from May 24 until June 3 to promote Indonesian culture to Holland. This year, TTF is exceptional because it coincides with 60 years of Asian Cultural Festival. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Idrus Marham said the government is currently working hard to reduce the poverty rate in Indonesia so that at the end of the term of office of President Joko Widodo, it can be 9%. Indonesian state-owned oil and gas company Pertamina has completed drilling 6 wells in the first quarter this year. The drillings were done by the company's upstream subsidiaries in Pertamina Eksplorasi Produksi (PEP), Pertamina Hulu Energy (PHE), and Pertamina Geothermal Energy (PGE). Pertamina Vice President of Corporate Communications Adiatma Sarjito said in a written statement that Pertamina's performance at the start of the year is quite satisfying. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in the eastern of Indonesia, Papua. Stay tuned. Listeners, Kau Hamlet is located at the border of Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, precisely at Muara Tami District, Jayapura City, Papua, Indonesia. Muara Tami District consists of three hamlets, namely Skau Yambe, Skau Sai, and Skau Mabo. From Jayapura City, the distance is around 46 kilometers, or it takes around 1.5 hours until 2 hours by car. Listeners, Kau Hamlet is hot and dry. Thus, many people choose to move to Jayapura City. But Kau Hamlet's scenery has changed to be beautiful. The post of state's border is more luxurious, and the border's gateway becomes favorite location of native people or tourists who visit the place. Listeners, besides selfie at the border's post and gateway, there is another activity which can be conducted at Skau Hamlet. At Skau Yambe Hamlet, you can see turtles conservation. Since the mid-2017, the government of Jayapura City has made Skau Yambe Hamlet to be turtles tourism object. In addition to preventing the turtles' extinction, it is also to increase local economy. Today, tourists who visit can see and cultivate the turtle, beginning from catching process, spawning, hatching until releasing to the ocean. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Membayar Taksi, or in English, Paying Taxi. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about membayar taksi, or in English, paying taxi. The location is on Jalan Garuda. Tony arrives at Joko's house and paying the taxi. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next conversation.
Pak, kita sudah sampai.
Oh, okay. Berapa ongkosnya?
40.000.
Okay. Ini uangnya. Ambil saja kembaliannya.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Sampai. Sampai, in English, to arrive. Berapa ongkosnya? Berapa ongkosnya, in English? How much is the cost? 40.000. 40.000, in English, 40,000. Ini uangnya, ambil saja kembaliannya. Ini uangnya, ambil saja kembaliannya. In English, here is the money, take the change. Terima kasih, Pak. Terima kasih, Pak. In English, thank you, sir. Listener, when you take an online taxi, usually the tariff appears on the application, but you can ask to the driver to make sure whether the price is changed or not. Berapa ongkosnya? When you pay the fare, it is possible you will give tips to the driver or forced to give the driver because he has no change. For that situation, you can say ambil saja kembaliannya or ambil saja uang kembaliannya. For example, Tony, ini uangnya, in English, here is the money. Driver, maaf tidak ada kembalian, in English, sorry, I have no change. Tony, ambil saja kembaliannya, ambil saja kembaliannya, in English, take the change. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Pak, kita sudah sampai.
Oh, okay. Berapa ongkosnya?
40.000.
Okay. Ini uangnya. Ambil saja kembaliannya.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of tourism object, the location and the weather in that place. Please convey more information if any. For example, Selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia. Memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present religious songs. Listener, now let's listen to the first song entitled Kebesaranmu by ST12. Happy listening.
Segala hidup dunia dan seisinya milikmu, mencintaimu sejati. Cinta pertama dalam hidup. Allahu Akbar, Maha Besar. Memujamu begitu indah. Selalu kau berikan semua.
That was the song Kebesaranmu by ST12 Band. ST12 is a band from Bandung, released the song in the album entitled Puspa Repackage. With a Malayan pop rhythm, the song Kebesaranmu tells about an expression of gratitude to God Almighty. God is the life giver and the owner of the world and its contents. God is the first love in life. The next religious song entitled Kembali Keagunganmu by Yuni Syara. The song tells the story of someone who is full of sin and ignores the afterlife. Then the person repents to the Almighty, returns to the right path and life. The song is getting deeper in its meaning when dedicated by Yuni Syara with strong and character vocals. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kembali Keagunganmu by Yuni Syara. Enjoy the song.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا sikap diri yang tak hirau perintah nista menghambat dunia lupakan akhirat hidup pasrah di jalanmu ya
Yeah.
Listener, we still have two religious songs and will dedicate to you entitled Aku Ingin Surga by Papinka Band and Ku Bersimpuh by Memes. The song Aku Ingin Surga tells about someone who has regretted all the sins he or she done. He begged forgiveness and guidance to be on the right path and kept away from all the punishments of hell. The song Aku Ingin Surga was released in 2014 by Papinka, the band's name that stands for Pangkal Pinang Bangka. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Aku Ingin Surga by Papinka Band. Happy listening.
Dosa yang kulakukan, sesal yang kudapatkan, hampa hidup yang kini kurasakan. Ku memohon ampunan hanya padamu Tuhan, kesalahan yang kulakukan di dalam hidupku. Sungguh ku merindukan kasih sayangmu Tuhan. Bila nanti ku pulang, surga yang ku inginkan, ya Allah, sempurnakan hidupku, tentu aku di jalanmu, jauhkan aku dari segala siksamu, ya Allah, terimalah tobatku dari segala dosaku, ampuni aku yang telah melupakanmu. Kesalahan yang kulakukan di dalam hidupku, sungguh ku merindukan kasih sayangmu Tuhan. Bila nanti ku pulang, surga yang ku inginkan, ya
dari segala
Now we'll present the last song entitled Ku Bersimpu by Memes. Similar to the song Aku Ingin Surga by Papinka, the lyrics of the song Ku Bersimpu also tells the story of someone who wants to get back to the right path. Someone hopes to be given a second chance and try to get to the presence of God. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Ku Bersimpu by Memes. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Di rumahmu ku bersimpu, terluluhkan segala dayaku. Yakini keagunganmu, ku berdoa sepenuh jiwa. Malam itu tak tertahan, tangisanku yang penuh sesal, tak mampunya ku berubah untuk menjadi yang kau damba. Oh Tuhan, ku datang tuh menghadapmu. Ampuni kehilafanku selama ini. Oh Tuhan, bukalah mata batinku untuk mengerti petunjuk dan bimbinganmu. Air mata basuhi jiwa, inikah awal kesucian. Tuhan, terangi jalanku dengan cahaya sinar matamu. Oh Tuhan, ku datang tuh menghadapmu. Ampuni kehilafanku selama ini. Oh Tuhan, bukalah mata batinku untuk mengerti petunjuk dan bimbinganmu. Untuk menghadapmu, ampuni kehilafanku selama ini. Oh Tuhan, bukalah mata batinku untuk mengerti petunjuk dan bimbinganmu. Coba yang terbaik untuk.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.